You go back there.
Go hang out.
Go hang out and party. All right. Little party pad back there for the little people, so. All right. Amen. Well, it sounds like everybody wants to listen to me. Nobody's going back in the back. That's okay. All right. Amen. Amen. We definitely appreciate your support and your faithfulness to tithe and to give and amen. We're obviously coming out of a very strange period, but we're definitely, like Mr. Gary said, want to be led on what to do next and where to go. Amen. And it's just nice to at least know a place to go. As opposed to about a year ago. yeah.
1 Samuel 17.
Amen. 1
Samuel 17.
Verse 2. We'll start there. I'm going to talk about praise is power. And there's just something about praising God.
I want to look at the account of
David and Goliath. David. I think this is very powerful. My kind of, it sounds like me. And it's very powerful. And when you really dig into the scenario, it really gives a synopsis of where we're at today. And Goliath is really he is a picture of the devil. And the Philistines, they are a picture of the enemy. They are a picture of manipulation. They're a picture of the way the devil works. And you can definitely recognize it. But I love what David does. He shows us how to deal with the enemy. Amen? He shows us how to deal with the enemy.
Mic is cracking.
Or crack? Yeah. All right. Better? Maybe not. Well, let's start in verse 2. And this is where right before David shows up, his brothers are there in the battlefield with Samuel. With King Saul, and it starts here in verse 2. Saul, and this is the Living Bible, by the way, and Saul countered with a building up of forces at Eli Valley. So the Philistines and Israelis faced each other on opposite hills with a valley between. So they're both on opposite hills, and there's a valley in between. Verse 4, then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was a giant of a man, measuring over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, a 200-pound coat of mail, bronze leggings, and he carried a bronze javelin several inches thick, tipped with a 25-pound iron spear. And his armor bearer walked ahead of him with a huge shield. So this was obviously a big dude, right? It's 1 Samuel 17.
Oh, 17.
Did I say that wrong? I'm sorry. 1 Samuel 17, verse 2. Sorry about that. 1 Samuel 17, 2. And so we see that Goliath, he's big. And if you kind of trace back the giants, Genesis chapter 6, obviously you know where they came from, right? They were half-breeds of fallen angels, and we see that. And so we see this giant, he's very intimidating. Again, the enemy and the devil is all about optics, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's all about visual. He's all about making things look bigger than life. He's all about intimidation. He's all about what it looks like and what's going on around you, and everything else too. Well, verse 9, and it says, if your man is able to kill me, so this is Goliath here, they're making a deal. If your man is able to kill me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, then you must be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel. Send me a man who will fight with me. Well, first of all, number one, he's a liar. Anytime the enemy comes to you and tries to strike up a deal, just forget it, right? You don't do deals with the devil. And you don't do deals with the devil. Why? Because he's a liar. Because he'll never hold up his deal, his end of the deal. Like Jesus there when he was tempted after he came out of the wilderness, and then the devil took him, you know, tempted him three times. Oh, if you'll, you know, if you'll just bow down to me, I'll give you all of this. Are you kidding me? What a joke, right? First of all, Jesus is smart enough to know, never believe the devil. Never, just know right now he's never going to hold up his end of his deal. Because why? Jesus said that he is the liar and the chief of lies, and he's the father of lies, right? So you can't believe anything he says. So anything that comes from the enemy, you know it's false, it's lie, it's not true. Let's go on here. It says, when, verse 11, when Saul and the Israeli army heard this, they were dismayed and frightened. What were they dismayed? Now, if they were focused on God and the Spirit, there wouldn't be any fear, right? Because if they really knew who God was, they recognized, I mean, they obviously forgot what God did for them out of Egypt. We forgot about that, right? Indeed, I can't remember that. What are they looking at? They're looking at the circumstances, right? They're looking at what the devil said. See, when you're basing your situation or you're basing facts off of everything, all of the information the devil is giving you, you're already behind the eight ball. You're already in trouble, right? If you're basing everything, all of your choices based off, and the devil comes to you and say, here are your choices, A and B, you say, no, my choices are C, D, and E. You don't dictate what my choices are, right? Here's the problem with most Christians and the Israelites and Saul back here was this. The devil does not dictate the terms. Everybody say that. The devil does not dictate the terms. The devil never dictates the terms. You dictate the terms. Jesus dictates the terms. The Word of God dictates the terms. The devil never dictates the terms. Never let the devil dictate the terms to you. Remember that. Never, ever let them do that. David, verse 22, David left his luggage with a baggage officer and hurried out of the ranks to find his brothers. Now this is skipped down. His father, Jesse, already told him, okay, take this food to your brothers. They need to eat, blah, 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 blah. Here's what you need to do, all these supplies. So David's there. He left everything there. Verse 23, as he was talking with them, he saw Goliath step out from the Philistine troops and shout his challenge to the army of Israel. As soon as they saw him, the Israeli army began to run away in fright. Have you seen this giant? The soldiers were asking. He has insulted the entire army of Israel. And have you heard about the huge reward the king has offered to anyone who kills him? And the king will give him one of his daughters for a wife, and his whole family will be exempt from paying taxes. That's a pretty sweet deal, right? I like the taxes thing. To me, that's like, yeah, more money in my pocket, right? Verse 26, and David talked to some of the others standing there to verify the report. What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his insults to Israel? He asked them, well, who is this heathen Philistine anyway? And that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God. And he received the same reply as before. It's interesting here. David comes out and he says, why is this guy even allowed to say the stupidity? In our modern vernacular, right? Why is this guy even allowed to spew off this garbage? I mean, how dare this guy come here and defy the armies of the living God? He is insulting our God. He's insulting our armies, and he's still running his big mouth. We haven't broke his jaw yet. You got another translation there? Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this is a big dude. What's holding him back?
Right.
Why doesn't he just go attack the army that's cowering in fear?
Exactly. Yep. And the devil is all blow and no go.
Yeah.
Right? Interesting here. And that's kind of one of the art of wars is if you've got intimidation on your side, and your enemy is scared, why not just go for it and attack them? And so we see here that verse 32, don't worry about a thing. David told him, I'll take care of this Philistine. David, now here we go. Everybody else is looking at the circumstances, looking at this giant, listening to the threats and everything else. And David, it doesn't even faze him, right? Because why? Because he's thinking, the enemy does not dictate the circumstances. The enemy does not dictate the terms. And the enemy is not going to win this thing. David does not even consider the enemy. I mean, you know, the Bible talks about how, I mean, a 25-pound head on the end of his spear. I mean, 25 pounds. You can throw that at you. I mean, sir, you know, it's just, this guy's massive, right? I mean, his shoulders would probably be, I don't know, at least probably up to that ceiling, maybe. His chest, I mean, it would be up to there, at least. He's 9 feet tall. So, this guy's massive, right? And so, verse 33, don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. Well, we can see what kind of faith Saul had, right? Right? Well, Saul will be eating his words here in just a few minutes, right? And then Saul said, how can a kid like you fight with a man like him? You are only a boy. He has been in the army since he was a boy. All right, so now, here, this is interesting, David's response. Because what would most Christians say right now? You're right. You're right. I'm not spiritual enough. I can't. I don't know enough Bible. I don't know this. I don't know that. No, what's David? But David persisted. When I am taking care of my father's sheep, he said, and a lion or a bear comes and grabs a lamb from a flock, I go after it with a club, and I take the lamb from its mouth. If it turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. And that's one bad dude. I don't care who you are. That is one bad dude. That is somebody I don't want to meet in a dark alley, right? I have done this to both lions and bears, and we could say, and tigers, oh my, right? Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And I'll do it to this heathen Philistine. Right, here we go. See, that's the important word, heathen. He recognizes he doesn't have covenant with God. Now, if you understand covenant here real quick, all right, we don't have it because we can get out of something, we'll just get an attorney and they'll get us out of it, right? We don't understand covenant. And I've heard this before, and I remember Robin, what's the guy with
Bullock,
was talking about, he was talking about the same story I was listening to the other day. It was perfect. He was talking about covenant. And he said this guy was going to find a friend of his in Africa, and he couldn't find him. But there was all of these, you know, all of these warlords and everything in Africa. This is several years ago, decades ago. And interpreter said, well, what you need to do is you need to go to the biggest warlord in Africa and you need to cut a covenant with him. And he's like, why? He says, because if you cut a covenant with him, nobody else will mess with you, right? And so, you know, if you understand covenant, there's a cutting involved. You know, often they will, you know, exchange weapons. I mean, you can read about it with David and Jonathan there in 1 Samuel, where, you know, they cut a covenant together. So he cut a covenant, and this king gave him his staff as a gift. And well, the king wanted a gift in return because, again, that's part of covenant. You're exchanging gifts here. And so he has staff. He's like, why do I need this staff? And the interpreter says, believe me, you'll find out. And so the guy said, well, I've been living off. He wanted this goat that this guy had. And he says, well, I'm drinking the milk of this goat, and that's the only thing that I'm able to keep down. And he goes, believe me, you need to give up the goat, right? Because we're not going to get very far if you don't get rid of that goat. So he gave him the goat. So what happened was, he would go through Africa, and all of these kings would come to him to fight and to kill him. And as soon as they saw the staff, they bowed down, right? Because why? Because if they mess with him, now they're going to mess with the meanest, toughest, nastiest warlord in Africa, and he's going to take care of them, right? Why? Because there's a covenant cut. Because anything, if they harm this guy, then he's going to have this big army come after him and take care of him, for him. If they did anything to the warlord, then he would have all of his resources to help him out too, right? He had medicine and everything else too. See how that covenant comes in? If you mess with him because he's got that warlord staff, he's going to come back and kill everybody. Not just the person who messed with him, they're going to wipe the whole tribe out. And so that's what covenant is. And David understood the power of covenant. So when he knew that God gave him the ability to kill bears and lions, that same covenant that he knew that he was going to step out on that battlefield, that he called him by a heathen, that he knew that I have covenant and you don't. Amen. So when I step on this battlefield, I have all of heaven's host behind me. See, it's not just God taking care of it personally, which God could take everything, but all of heaven in this covenant, right? Angels, provision. We see that with Abraham, right? That when Abraham cut covenant with God, actually it wasn't Abraham cutting covenant with God, it was God cutting covenant with God, if you study it, right? Because his spirit went through that. One, it is you cut an animal in half, and you lay it out in front, and the ritual is you both parties walk through it. There's exchange of weapons, and you can study that on your own. But you see in Genesis where it says that the black crows tried to come down and consume the sacrifice, which is symbolic of Satan, and that Abraham knocked them off. Abraham fell into deep sleep, and it says the spirit went through. So isn't that interesting how God's covenant, since he cut it with himself, is more powerful than him and man? Because now God has cut covenant with himself like he did with Jesus on the cross. It's not just he cut covenant with man, but God cut covenant with himself. So that means that God would have to die if he broke covenant. Because that's what covenant is. If you break covenant, you die. Not get an attorney and get out of it, right? So the revelation that David had on this day moving forward was this Goliath was a heathen. He did not have covenant with God. And by the way, the devil does not dictate terms. The devil does not set the agenda. I never listen to the devil. Ever. Ever. Well, it's intimidating. No, they were looking at the intimidation. All the devil is about intimidation. And the Bible says that in Psalms, the first few chapters of Psalms, that he laughs at the wicked. God is laughing because God knows that he's bigger than them. And so if we really come back to this, if I can find it here really quick, I'm going to pull it up just kind of off the top. My head here. Yep, so Psalms 2:4 says, this is talking about the Lord. He sits in heaven, in the heavens, and shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Talking about his enemies here. He laughs at his enemies. He literally busts out laughing. Verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Hallelujah. God is laughing at the enemies. And so, where are we at here? Let's look at verse 38. Then Saul gave David his armor, his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. But David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can hardly move, he exclaimed, and took them off again, right? Interestingly enough here, Saul is talking about, well, I've got it all figured out. This is how you're going to do it. And David's like, wait a minute here. This isn't what the Lord's leading me to do. Right? Like Mr. Gary was talking about, being led by the Spirit. Why did David do that? And that's why the Bible says, forget not all my benefits. And that's why it's important for us to rehearse testimonies in our head, because it reminds us of what God brought us out of. Yeah. It reminds us, it takes us back to, and I like what some psychologists say, it puts you in a state, right? When, for example, when you listen to certain, maybe you're in a restaurant, you listen to a certain song, it takes you back to a state. It takes you back to, oh, I remember I was at this dance. I remember when I was young. I remember this song. And it takes you back to a state psychologically, because it reminds you of a place, and you may be sitting there. You may remember where you're at. You may remember, you know, when that song was played or at a concert or whatever it is. When we remember the goodness of God and His faithfulness, that's why many of the patriarchs would create altars, because it would symbolize what God did on the spot. And all who passed by, it would remind them. And so when we recognize what God did for us, it puts us in a state. It does something to us. And that's why the Bible says, forget all of my benefits, don't forget what I've done for you, because it psychologically puts us in a place, it helps our faith, and it puts it in a place. And when David was putting all the stuff on, and he's like, I can't move, he instantly went back to the state and thinking, wait a minute, that's not how I beat this lion. That's not how I killed the bears. That's not how it worked before. And he said here, I've never put this stuff on before. You know, interesting? Isn't that interesting? I've never done it this way. I've never put it on before. This isn't the path I've gone before. And he's reminded, like, this isn't going to work. I mean, this just isn't going to work. I'm going back to the way that I know it works. And that's the way God has anointed me to do it before. Let's read on here. Are you all asleep? Is it okay? Am I not boring you? And then in verse 40, it says, then he picked up 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them in his shepherd's bag. Interesting shepherd's bag, right? Armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, started across to Goliath. Now, God is all about sometimes unconventional. God is never going to do things the way that you think that it needs to be done. Because if you've got it all figured out, then why do we need him, right? That's why the devil, if he would have known Jesus at the cross, he would have defeated himself, and basically he was hanging himself with his own noose when he crucified Christ at the cross. Now again, it was God who did it, and Jesus who allowed it, but the devil would have never gone through it if he would have known what he was doing to himself. But God will always do things unconventional often. And then verse 41, Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt as this nice little red-cheeked boy. Goliath's probably thinking, you're kidding me. I got this little pretty boy coming out here to fight me, right? Young, you know. I'm sure Goliath was no looker. He was probably got beat with the ugly stick plenty of times, and he was probably, yeah, big and mean and ugly. And he didn't smell very good. And verse 43, am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. See, isn't it funny? Always, again, always giving the dictates, always trying to tell you what to do, the devil, all the time. Come over here. That's not what David did, is it? See, it's all the time, the devil. Come over here. Do this. I'm setting the terms. I'm doing this. Guess what? We go by our own agenda. Amen? You go by your agenda the way that God told you to do it. Not what the world dictates, not what they're telling you to do. It's what the Word says. And then it goes on here and he says, David shouted in reply, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the armies of heaven and Israel, the very God whom you defied. Today the Lord will conquer you. And I will kill you and cut off your head. David is now telling him what's going to happen, right? I'm going to cut off your head, and then I will give the dead, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Now, interesting enough, he said this. So what he's saying is this: I'm setting the terms. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off. And also, I'm coming out. We're going to come after your men, and we're going to kill them, and the birds are going to feed on them. And everybody in the world is going to know about it. Basically, he's saying this is going to be an eternal testimony against you and the forces of darkness. This is getting deep, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, we just Cadillac through this a lot, and we don't understand everything that's in the Word like this, do we? Then he goes on and he says, and Israel will learn that the Lord does not depend on weapons to fill his plans. He works without regard to human means.
Amen.
He will give you to us. Basically, at this point, you have nothing to do with it anymore. God is going to give you to us. You are done. Verse 48, as Goliath approached, David ran out to meet him. Not this trick. But he ran at him, right? That's somebody without fear who runs to the battle. That's somebody without fear who just doesn't, is just, God is on my side. I got a slingshot. I got this thing. It's going to happen. And so, but let's just back up here real quick and see that the key, one of the keys is in this, and he says, and the Lord Israel will learn that the Lord does not depend on weapons to fulfill his plans. He works without regard to human means. David had the revelation what was going to happen, I believe, right here. He knew that it wasn't going to be a sword, but it was going to be this unconventional way of killing him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, the world system and the world's philosophy is all about we have to fight this way. We do not have to fight with swords. We do not have to fight with these things, right? It's something completely unconventional. And David knew that I don't have to use a conventional means of warfare here. I'm going to do the way that I feel like I'm supposed to and the way it has happened on the inside. So David had this. So David ran out to meet him, and reaching into his shepherd bag, he took out a stone, hurled it from his sling, and hit the Philistine in the forehead. Now, that had to have been a supernatural.
Yeah.
It had to have been supernatural. Because, you know, any of you who have guns or anything like this, when I'm hunting or doing anything and I'm seeing something, if I'm hunting game or something, I always wait for it to stop. Right? I've never shot a deer or done anything hunting running. You know? I mean, try that. You know, I mean, you're amazing. Unless you got a machine gun or like a big old M60 or something and you just, you know, cut grass with it. I mean, that's a different story. You got a helicopter, you're, you know, hunting hogs or something. But for the most part, you're stopped, right? When you're hunting, you're stopped. You're taking an aim. You try to get it to stop. I've shot him running, but you're trying to have everything to your advantage. When David is running and he throws it and it hits him in the forehead, and then we see here, and then a stone sank in and the man fell on his face to the ground. So David conquered the Philistine giant with a sling and a stone. I mean, all of this is supernatural.
Yeah.
I mean, you go and you try to use a sling and you try to hit somebody on the run in the forehead and that thing sink in their forehead. Now the Goliath, we just read he had a helmet on, right? So you're telling me that he has a helmet and he's running and he's, you know, got this thing embeds in his head, and somehow he hits him on the run, and it's got to be God, guys.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now. That's an impossible shot. And so, since he had no sword, he ran over and pulled Goliath from his sheath and killed him with it, and then cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they surrendered. See, we're going to honor our deal here. We said, if you guys, you know, if we kill your champion, then we'll surrender to you. If you kill ours, you surrender to us. No, they didn't.
No.
See, the devil's a liar. They took off running. Then the Israelites gave a great shout of triumph, and rushed out to the Philistines, chasing them as far as Gath. and the gates of Ekron, and the bodies of the dead and the wounded Philistines were strewed along the road to Sheraim. Then the Israeli army returned and plundered the deserted Philistine camp. Verse 54, here we go. Later, David took Goliath's head to Jerusalem. Why did he do that? Why did he do this? Why is this important? Verse 54. But he stored his armor in his tent. So the head of Goliath was a testimony not only to the enemies, but the people, right? God is back in charge. We serve a good God. And he is going to back us. And this is a result of our enemies defying him and defying us. And then he kept the army for a keepsake. Because, you know, God's going to give you some too. You know, I mean, you know, God's going to take all the glory. But he's like, well, you know, you deserve a keepsake here. You know. And probably later when he became king, he probably hung it in his wall and just looked out all the time like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Right? Everybody that came over, guys, come here, check this out. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? Oh, man. It's a testimony. See, it's a testimony. Right? There's no way I'm going to get through all of this, so, but.
Can I share one?
Yeah.
I just can't help it. I got to share this. So I saw this post going around, and it was so good. I just love the way it was worded. It was like my wife was saying how sad she felt to have to raise kids in these terrible times. And the husband said, never be sad that you're raising dragon slayers in an era
Amen.
Of dragons. And I was like, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just goes with this.
Yep. But do you see how this story is parallel to today? I mean, can you see it? The world is setting the terms. You have to do this medically. You have to do this. You have to do this. And if you don't do this, this will happen to you and everybody else around you. And this will happen. No. No, we don't have to, do we? We don't have to. No. We live in America. I have freedom of choice, freedom of religion. We have these freedoms, right? And I'm in covenant with a great God. The world isn't. And God, I believe, like I just had tongues interpretation, I believe we're going to see things that are going to be supernatural in the days to come. Amen? We are going to see some things being exposed. I've been praying for years. This is going to be a jubilee, I'm telling you right now. We are going to see the greatest days we've ever seen. Amen? And this story, this account of David and Goliath is exactly what the church, America, the world has been going through. And Goliath's head is coming off, baby. Amen? And I am going to be there, and I'm going to be dancing in the streets. I already told Adrian, when all this stuff blows up, and this government is corrected, and all the wrongs are righted, and it's on the news, I'm going to videotape myself dancing in the street. I'm going to post it on Facebook. And I'm just going to rejoice, and I'm going to do I Told You So dance to everybody that I've been talking about for years. Amen? Amen? Because on my spirit I've got on the inside, we've got prophetic people that have been speaking the same thing all along the whole time, and the Goliath's head's coming off, baby. Amen? It's coming off. God is faithful, and it's going to be amazing. I am just... It's gonna be fabulous. We got the greatest days ahead of us, I'm telling you right now. And all of this has been a smokescreen and lies. You know, you just can't tell me that, like Adrian getting kicked off Facebook and all these people getting censored, we're on something. We are striking a nerve on the enemy, and truth is gonna prevail.
Amen.
Amen. And we are I'm telling you what, we are on something big, and we are continuing to pray it out on Wednesday nights, but we serve a great God. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for this goodness. God, we thank you that you are faithful tonight. Lord God, you're faithful. You're good, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing in this nation. We thank you for what you're doing in our families, in our lives, Lord God. And we have our best days are yet to come for the church in the name of Jesus. And no devil in hell will come against us, because the gates of hell will not prevail against us, which is the church. Hallelujah. We pray for this mighty giant called the church to wake up spiritually in the name of Jesus and to take her place along the side on the throne of the great God Jehovah. Lord God, we praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We speak anointing and faithfulness, Lord God. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord Jesus. We also thank you for the backbone of King David in the name of Jesus. That how dare these heathens come speak against the name of the living God. Hallelujah. We thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That we have all of heaven's host behind us. Thank you, Jesus. That this nation was established for the wonderful works of the Almighty God and our great Father, our God Jehovah. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wednesday night, amen. We have a great time praying. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praying down the house. Praise you, Lord Jesus. So have a great week. Amen.